Well, I want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes about freedom. Anybody here thankful for freedom? Well, let me just start right off by just kind of blowing that out of the water. Freedom isn't free. One of the things that I've learned in my life, I know when I was a kid, I thought if something said free, that it meant that it was free. How many were under that assumption when you were younger? But I soon found out that though it says free, something was paid for it. Somebody paid a price. Everything that is labeled free, somebody's paid for it. And usually it will be you in one way or another. They'll get you on the backside. You know, I was kind of amazed at the, I watched some of the debates this week. The Democratic candidates debated, and they were telling all the things that they were going to do for free. You know, free college and free health care and all of this. And, you know, again, if you've lived for a little while, you realize, no, it would be nice. But no, nothing's free. The privilege that you and I have of being here this morning, we cannot take for granted, because there are those who have paid some the ultimate price for the privilege that we have of coming into this place, or not, because they gave their lives for us to be free. We could be under English rule or under the tyranny of the Nazis in Germany or many other nations in the world who would have swallowed up this beautiful land of ours were it not for those who have taken their stand and said, I will pay for freedom. I think it's important, not just on Veterans Day, for us to remember that our freedoms that we enjoy, one of which is the freedom of worship, came at a price. So thank you to those who have served. Thank you to those who have given their lives so that we could be here this morning. Amen? Amen. Tony Campolo, you may be familiar with him. He's not as vigorous today as he was a little earlier, but he wrote a book entitled Let Me Tell You a Story, and in that he has several stories, and one of which goes like this. He said, every Sunday, the ducks in a certain town waddled out of their houses down Main Street to their church. They waddled into the sanctuary and squat in their proper pews. The duck choir waddles in and takes its place. Then the duck minister comes forward and opens the duck Bible. He reads to them, ducks, God has given you wings. With wings you can fly. With wings you can mount up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you. No fences can hold you. You have wings. God has given you wings. You can fly like birds. All the ducks shouted, Amen! And then they waddled home. You get the analogy? You know, all too often we come into this place and we hear about the things that the Lord has done for us and wants to do for us, and we turn and we forgive this, but we waddle right on out of here and go about our lives forgetting what the Lord has promised. I want to tell you this morning that our Lord Jesus has made a provision for us of freedom. You may need to soak in a minute. I said the Lord Jesus has made a provision for us of freedom. We choose whether or not we will accept His gift of freedom. We choose as to whether or not we will walk in His freedom. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul talks about this. He challenges the people at Galatia when he says to them, why in the world, when you have been set free, would you turn again to bondage? In other words, he was saying, it doesn't make sense. When you have been set free, that you would turn again to the bondages that bound you before. Now, in their case, and what he was talking about specifically, was the fact that those who were Jews, who had been saved from all of the rigors of the law, had been set free from that because of the power and the majesty and the sacrifice of Jesus. They no longer had to offer up sacrifices. But some of them were trying to add all that old stuff back in and on top of what Jesus had done. Oh yes, we're accepting the sacrifice of Jesus, but we're going to go ahead and continue to bring lambs and cows and all of this and bring them in and sacrifice them. And he said, no. Let it go and accept the sacrifice of Jesus over your sins. I challenge you this morning, even as I unpackage a little bit of the scripture for you, I challenge you, let Jesus set you free and stay free. Would you turn to somebody and just say to them, stay free? Now you may wonder why I have you do these things from time to time, because see, I want you to hear some of these truths from somebody else other than me. And I'm not naive to think that as soon as this message closes with an amen, that your minds will turn to other things, and you more than likely will not say to one another, hey, stay free. Stay free. Come on, stay free. Now, you said it a moment ago, but I want you to say it again and mean it. Turn to them. Maybe give them one of these. Say, stay finger. Stay free. Huh? In our passage in the 8th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we often concentrate just on the miracles that Jesus did here. But if you look at all of them together, you will see that there, as I told you last week, there's a deeper purpose. There's a more powerful purpose that is coming forth. So, take a look with me. Actually, at chapter 7, verse number 20, well, let's see. You find it. Here we go. Chapter 8. I just needed to turn the page. I'm sorry. I study with one Bible and I bring another one to the platform with me. And so they're on different pages. Anybody else that way? No? Okay. In chapter 8, verse number 23, it says, then he, that's Jesus, got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Can I tell you this morning that in Jesus there's freedom from fear? I will not ask this morning for a show of hands of how many deal with some fear in our lives? The reality would be, if there was honesty completely in this room, that nearly everyone deals with fear. It's a very real emotion, if you will, that we deal with as men and women. And the enemy loves to use our fears. He likes to hold us back with them. He likes to set us aside with them. He likes to get us, as we talked about a few weeks ago, worrying. Huh? Well, what if? Well, if this happens and this happens and this happens, and, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? Oh my goodness, this is going to be terrible. Huh? Anybody? If you know what I'm talking about, just kind of give me one of these. Yeah, thank you. That way I know you're still alive. Storms always come. They come in different forms. Different family, different individuals have storms in a different way. But storms always come. So the fact that Jesus is in this boat with the disciples and a storm came was not a freakish thing. Even there, as fishermen, they knew on the Sea of Galilee that storms come frequently. They say that because the way the hills go up on each side, they call them mountains, but I think they're hills more than mountains, on each side of the Sea of Galilee, that the wind sweeps down and causes very violent storms on the Sea of Galilee. They're known for that. It's not that big of a body of water, but it can be very challenging when a storm comes. Now, most of these guys, not all, but most of these guys were seasoned fishermen. They understood storms. So the storm that came up on that particular day must have been fairly violent. The only question that really stands and has any value at all when storms come into our lives is the question that these men should have dealt with. And that is Jesus in the boat? Right? Oh, come on. You know, we're sitting here 2,000 years later. We can be just as critical as we want to be of them. Right? Come on, let's put your critical hat on. I know you all have one. Oh, do I know that? So put your critical hat on for a minute. Let's be critical of these guys. What are they thinking? Jesus is right in the boat. And they are fearful that they are going to drown with Jesus in the boat. This is Jesus who had just healed a paralyzed man. This is the Jesus that opened blind eyes. This is the Jesus who cleansed lepers. This is the Jesus that they had seen all of these things. And here he is in the boat asleep during this violent storm. But they forgot that Jesus was in the boat. They forgot that how powerful Jesus was in their boat. Okay, that's us being critical of them. But what about us? How often do we as believers forget that Jesus is in our boat? Okay, let me ask the question. You seem puzzled by this. How many of you have Jesus in your boat? Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a boat. I think we may have a canoe, but I don't have a boat. Let me get more specific. How many of you have Jesus in your life? He's in your heart. Come on, let me see him. This is testimony time. I don't know. You see, if we can't testify in here where it's safe, I know we're not going to testify out there. You know, if you're like, you know, Jesus is in me. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe this is the problem. Maybe this is why fears overtake us. It's because we're forgetting that Jesus is in us. You say, but Pastor, he's sleeping. Huh? He must be sleeping because he hasn't done anything about the storm that's going on in my life. Listen, if he's in you, that's all you need. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, then there is nothing, nothing that can touch us except that it comes through him. You see, oh, you mean those things, that storm that's going on around me? Listen, he sent these boys into the storm. On this occasion, he went with them. But on other occasions, he would send them out onto the Sea of Galilee and a storm would come upon them. So we need to understand, if Christ is in us, he is our hope. He is our surety. He's the one that we can rest in. If they were to do anything in that boat, you would have thought that the 12 of them would have seen how close that they could get to Jesus. You know, it's like, okay, let's snuggle up to Jesus because we know nothing's going to happen here. There's a little practical piece to that, folks. When the storm is raging, snuggle up to Jesus. Find him. Find where he's at in your life. Find where he's at in your spirit. And begin to draw from him. Say, oh, wait, my goodness, I'm going to sit right here at his feet while this is going on. Let it rage. Let the storm storm as it will. Because if I'm sitting here with Jesus, nothing's going to happen to me. Those guys forgot that Jesus was in the boat with them. What did he do? Wake up, wake up, we're going to die. I told you. He says, I told you storms were going to come. And you're surprised? Anybody here ever go through a storm that rocks your boat? Unsettles you? Again, the only question that you need to ask in those moments is, Jesus in my boat. And if you can't answer that absolutely, positively, yes, he is, then you fall down on your knees and you say, Lord Jesus, I have allowed sin to separate me from you and I need to get close to you because it's storming and I know you're able to take care of the storm. Praise God. Now again, you see, we're going to walk out of here. And we're going to eat. Huh? And we're going to go on about the day. And some of you, before this day is over, a storm is going to come over the hills and down into the valley of your life. And there it is. But remember, what's the one question you need to ask? Is Jesus in my boat? Now, I love the fact that we live in this land of ours. And that there is a measure of freedom that we have because we live in this land. But see, I'm not counting on the Democrats or the Republicans to bring me freedom. My anchor holds to the rock of ages. His name is Jesus. Huh? So if you set your security in your financial state, look out. Because there are storms that can wipe all of that away or at least make it look like it's going away. But if you set your anchor in Jesus, storms will come. Oh, I think you better tell this. You won't believe me. Turn and say to somebody, storms are coming. Come on. Some of you have got to help me out, because you won't even do the simple thing. To just turn to somebody and say, storms are coming. You couldn't be more truthful. Because it may come today. Because see, if you didn't do the first part, then you can't do the second part. See, if you said to the person standing next to you, storms are coming, then I would like for you to follow that up with, but Jesus. There's no sense in me just being the only one that preaches around here. You have the opportunity to preach this, not only in this house, but with your life this week. So the first thing that I would show you in this passage is that Jesus has power of freedom over our storm. Amen means so let it be. Is there an amen in the house? All right, let's look at the next piece. I got to be done by 11, so you got to help me. In verse number 28, chapter 8, verse number 28. When he arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadareans, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them in a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off and went into the town and reported all of this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. There's so much in this, I'm not even going to try to unpackage it all. But I want to tell you this morning that in Jesus there is freedom from bondage. Freedom from bondage. We understand what bondage is. Bondage is anything that has control of us rather than us having control of that thing. It can be a habit. It can be a nature. Some people have settled to say, "Well, that's just who I am. This is just the way I am." And yet, down in their heart, down in their spirit, they know that the portion of the I am that they're talking about is not pleasing to God. Hello? These two men were demon-possessed. The scripture says, Jesus asked them, in Luke, he tells a little bit more of the story, in Luke chapter 8. Jesus asked them their name. "We are Legion." That means that there were 4,200 to 6,000 of them inside these two men. Oh my goodness. I would say this morning those two men were demon possessed. It does make you wonder, how many demons can a person hold? I'll let you young folks work on that. Maybe there's a mathematical equation. How many demons can one person hold? I would ask you this further. How much bondage can one person stand? These men could not stay with their families. They had to be taken off into caves, chained, because they would tear their clothes away. They would hurt people. They yelled, they screamed. So their bondage caused them to be antisocial. You know, I am amazed that there's not more meanness in the world than what there is. You ever think about that? I mean, how mean can a person get? You say, oh, Pastor, you know, we've seen serial killers. We've seen individuals who are willing to put bombs in places and blow up huge numbers of people. But you think about it. How much bondage, how much demonic spirit, how much evil can any one person contain? All of us that have lived for a little while have seen some pretty hideous things come out of people. Right? The key here is the fact that the bondage that was binding these guys could not hold on to them as long as Jesus was present. Kind of goes back to the boat thing. You see, when Jesus came into their area, what's interesting, the people in the town, they realized this. Now, they weren't real tickled because obviously they were gaining monies from those pigs. And they cared more about the pigs than they did about those two men. It was kind of like, oh yeah, you mean those guys? We cast them out of town a long time ago. But you think about this. Jesus set those two men free. And the town came out and said, please leave our region. In other words, get out of our state. It wasn't just leave Bedford, it was leave Indiana. Why? Because his bringing liberty, bringing freedom to those two men cost that town something. See, we need to understand that when we maintain the bondages in our lives, that it doesn't just affect us, it affects those around us. In other words, your home, your marriage, your family is affected by your bondage. You may have settled in and said, okay, you know, this isn't a big thing. I can have this, a temper that I lose sometimes and everything, you know, everybody knows that, boy, when I lose my temper, everybody wants to run and hide someplace because that's just me. I think I got it from my dad or my mom and, you know, it's just the way I am. So, boy, clear out whenever my temper goes off. Huh? I'm sorry if I got too close to somebody's bondage there. Huh? But you know, it's just me. It's just my problem. No. It's everybody's problem around you. So we need this morning to understand that our bondages affect everybody around us. More than maybe we even think about. But the glorious thing is that Jesus came to set us free. You know, we throw out this scripture, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? How many have memorized that one? Well, that's an easy one to memorize, isn't it? If only it were true. I mean, it's true in its essence. It's true in its capability, but if only it was true in the way we actually walk out our lives. Because see, sometimes we will come to an altar and we give to the Lord. We recognize where we're in bondage. Okay? And then we call that thing out to the Lord, and the Lord brings us freedom from that thing. We lay it down at an altar and give it to Him. And He sets us free. And then before we leave the building, we kind of sneak back and... Huh? Before the day is over, You know, because this is the way it is. When the Lord sets us free, the enemy wants us back. So not only do we need to recognize that Jesus can set us free, but we need to recognize that staying free, that there's some responsibility that goes along with it. There are certain things that we cannot do anymore. There are certain people that we cannot be with anymore. There are certain things that we cannot watch anymore or listen to anymore, because we have to separate ourselves. You say, well, but they don't have to do that. Yeah, but they're not dealing with the same problem that you're dealing with. You see, if you have problems with things that are on the internet, then you may need to set up your internet access so that everybody in the household can see your screen all the time.
That's not real practical.
Yes, but it can help you stay free. If your problem is that temper thing that we were talking about, instead of just ignoring that this is something that you have been in bondage to, and maybe it is the sin of a father that is passed down to a son to the third or fourth generation, because you have accepted that bondage as being yours, it's who I am, well then you need to find somebody to be accountable to. And be honest. And say, this is my problem. This is my difficulty. I believe that the sun sets free. And when we're free indeed. But would you remind me? Because when I step back in this direction, I'm going to come and confess to you. And I would pray that you would pray with me, for me. Ask me about it regularly. No, that... Huh? Freedom. Jesus has promised us freedom from fear and freedom from bondage. But just like the guys in the boat, they needed to recognize who was in the boat with them. And that same thing was true the next time that they were out on the waves, the next storm that came up, not just that one. Because sometimes physically Jesus would not be in the boat with them, but they needed to remember that Jesus was in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You may not be able to physically see Him sometimes, but you can know His presence if you've invited Him into your heart and life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means when you're sitting at school and things come crowding in upon you, He's the same Jesus. He knows our fears. He knows our bondage, church. And He will bring freedom to us if we allow Him. Say hallelujah and I'll move to the last point. All right, see? You help me and I go faster. I want you to see this last one. Because this one's gigantic. In chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, came to his own town, and some men brought to him a paralyzed man, lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat and go home. Then the man got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to a man. Telling you this morning, in Jesus there's freedom from fear, in Jesus there's freedom from bondage, and in Jesus there's freedom from sin. I think we just hit on a condition that every single one of us know full well. Luke gives a little more color to this story. The fact that Jesus was in a house. Some believe that maybe it was his house. And the crowd came and pushed in. So many people were in there that these guys that were carrying their friend couldn't get in the door. So they went up on the roof and tore a hole in the roof and lowered this man down right in front of Jesus. Now that's deliberate. If it was his house, it's interesting, he didn't rebuke them. Way to go, guys! You tore a hole in my roof! He saw the bigger thing. The scripture says that he responded to this man's need because of their faith. Not that man's faith, but because of the faith of those men who cared enough about their friend to lower him down in front of Jesus. Wow, there's so much that could come forth here. As I told you last week, one of the purposes that Jesus has of healing is our faith. We need to understand this morning the power of faith. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible to him who believes. That's what Jesus told us. What do you do with the sin that's in your life? You know, as I was pondering this and just praying over it, I was thinking about how casual many times that we are over our sins. We thank the Lord for his mercy. We thank the Lord for his grace. And then we become very casual about sinning. My Bible says that sin separates us from God. That means that it is a very troubling thing. Because anything that separates me from God is not a good thing. I'd like for you to say something to yourself right now. You can say it out loud or you can say it just to yourself. But I'd like for you to say something to yourself this morning. My sin separates me from my God. The wages of sin is death. Paul made it very serious. We need to understand the seriousness of our sins, church. You know why? So that we can recognize the power of our Savior. You know, I think sometimes that we spit on the cross with the way that we handle the sins in our lives. We know that it was our sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. Just give me one nod or a blink of an eye just so I know you're still here. Okay. So we know that our sin nailed Jesus to the cross. But then we become so casual about our sin. As though it's nothing. Oh, you know, It's no big deal. It was just a little white lie. It was just a bit of a stretch of the truth. That foul stuff that came out of my mouth, oh, you know, I don't talk that way all the time. It was just an event. I don't need to stand here this morning and tell you what is sin. You know when you have sinned. You know at heart level when you sinned. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus brings freedom from sin. But it has to be acknowledged first. We have to identify the sin in our lives. As the Holy Spirit illuminates it to us, we identify the sin and we turn away from it. Anybody know what the word that talks about that in Scripture? What is it, Steve? For turning away from our sin. Repent. Repent. You see, we are challenged to repent of our sins, which means we acknowledge our sin first. And then He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Know this, no one else may know about your sin, but you know and the Lord knows. He said, well, then why do I need to acknowledge it? Because you and I need to acknowledge our sins before the Lord. And then His justice, His sacrifice, nothing is free. Your freedom from your sin came at the price of Jesus' life. So just like when we're trying to overcome fear, we need Jesus in the boat with us. When we need to be free from bondage, we need to know that Jesus is on the scene to set us free and help us stay free. In the same way, we need to deal with sin in our lives by acknowledging that it exists before the one who can forgive the sin. There's only one. His name is Jesus. Come on, sinners. We might as well acknowledge what is truth so that freedom can come into our lives. You know, as we watch here in our country, we watch how the things are shifting and changing. Sometimes you wonder, my goodness, how free are we anymore? Same thing I ask of Christians. How free are we anymore? How much are we allowing fear to control our lives and bondage to hold our lives and sin to be embraced in our lives? Today is a day of freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ.